are the cornerstone and the Lord of all. We acknowledge that truth this morning. We say it to you, Lord, that all of the ground is sinking sand. Everything else is shifting in our world. But God, thank you. And one of the points we'll talk about in this message this morning is that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, thank you that you are always the same. We can depend upon you and rest in you and hold on to you and stand in you. But Father, we are dependent upon you this morning. God, would you speak to our hearts? We're going to talk about a subject that makes some people's hair stand on end. But it's just that time we talk about it. And it's one of the greatest blessings to talk about. That Satan loves to twist and make it something that it's not. Lord, we want to talk about giving. The tremendous privilege to give of our resources unto you. So God, would you speak to us? Would you encourage us? Would you bless us this morning? Would you use this sorry old preacher to declare your truths unashamedly with great grace and mercy, with great conviction that it is the truth and the word of the living God. That is sharper than a two-edged sword, that it would pierce both soul and marrow this morning. Thank you for these that are here, dear Lord. And may you speak to each of us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Wow, what a powerful time of worship this morning, huh? My goodness. Thank you, praise team, choir, praise band, for leading us this morning. So grateful that you lead us each and every week. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to the book of Malachi? Not a book we turn to very often. It's the last book in the Old Testament, so you can turn to Matthew and take a left, and you'll get to the spot where you need to be. Malachi chapter 3, beginning in verse number 6 here in just a moment. I do hope, kiddos, that you'll be back for Kids Extreme Remix tonight. We're trying something new. We've never done it before. It may be a huge success. It may be a flop. We don't know, but we wanted to try it tonight and see. So adults, thank you for coming back and doing Kids Extreme one more time, all right? I know it's a stretch, and we got a busy day today. We got vision team this afternoon and all kind of stuff, and a huge day yesterday. Folks, we had almost 30 people yesterday here at the church working and over at the Hensarling House. Got a lot accomplished yesterday. I'm so grateful for those that were able to come yesterday and give sacrificially. Miss Phyllis is here today and rejoicing at sheetrock. She can't see all the way through her house anymore. It's there sheetrock everywhere. And so we are rejoicing in that. I just love to be a part of a church that's not just talking about loving people, but is actually loving in word and in deed. And we'll love on folks tonight too. So if you were an adult, didn't get plugged in before, come on tonight. We'll help you find a spot. We'll get you plugged in tonight. We're open to have a packed house again tonight at 6 o'clock. Adults, if you'll please help us be here at 5:30, because we got to do security tags, all those kind of things that we do before. That would be a huge help to us, and we wouldn't be stressed by that 5:30 this evening. All right? Well, Malachi chapter 3. We talk about our Baptist distinctives. What makes us distinctive? We've talked about the B in Baptist, that the Bible is our sole authority. The A, the autonomy of the local church. The P, the priesthood of the believer, talking about our individuality as we are responsible unto the Lord to interpret Scripture for ourselves, to know the Lord for ourselves. And this morning, the T goes and talks about tithing, the importance of tithing. Now, funnily enough, I've met several guests this morning. We're delighted you're here. And I always love it when we have my wife leaned over to me. She said, you know, well, there's a lot of guests here today. I was like, why is that? She said, because you're preaching on tithing. I was like, I never thought about that. So, guests, I don't preach on tithing every week. Just came along in our series. But I want to be honest with you. I am not ashamed to preach about tithing whatsoever. I'm not ashamed to preach about giving. It doesn't bother me when I owe it because I believe this is true. It is one of our greatest gifts that we are able to give back to the Lord. I can't think one of the greatest things we get to do, quite frankly, as believers. It's kind of like this. My mom, many of you know, my dad passed away a few years ago, almost 2 years ago now. It's hard to believe. And a lot of times we'll go and help her do things. And she's like, I just can't thank you enough, and I appreciate that. And I said, Mom, I said, here's just the bottom line. I'm just starting to pay back at childhood for changing my diapers, and I got a long way to go. Right? It feels like, though it's not done this way, it's like payback. It's in a good way. It's something I can do that I can show her, and I've hopefully done that over the years, but I can help her do things in her house that she can't do, and I can do them for her, and it's a way to love on her. One of the ways I can love on God, one of the greatest ways I love on God, is able to give back a part of which God has so richly blessed me with. It is a privilege. And so I want to tell you unashamedly, there was a millionaire that talked about this idea. It was a wealthy man, was a member of First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, back in the 1920s. He was a millionaire. So you took it to today's standards, probably a billionaire in today's standards of money. And of course, you know what happened in 1929? The Great Depression came. He was a faithful tither, a faithful giver, known by many as very generous, not only to the church, but to others. And somebody came to him and said, "Sir, how does it now feel?" He lost everything. I mean, he lost it all. And they said, "Sir, how does it feel to know that you've lost everything?" And he simply said this statement, and this has rung with me for so many years, and here it is: "I only have what I've given away. I only have what I've given away." So I wonder if we'd ask ourselves that question: how much will we have? How much have we given away for the glory of God? In the name of our Savior. What's interesting to note is statistically across the board in America that only 5%, the number back in the late 90s was about 7%, has now dropped to 5%. Matter of fact, in 2007, 8, and 9, in those years, in 2010, giving dropped to as low as 2 to 3% of Christians actually tithe. We're going to talk about what tithing is and how we can do that and the joy of being able to give and what that means for you and me. And here's the other thing that people understand is, well, people say, well, a lot of people can't tithe. They did a survey and that the average Christian lives or spends 117% of their income. Now, I am not a good mathematician. We have several accountants in this room. I can look out and find you, Brooke, some others that are accountants in this room. I am bad in math. I am bad. Do you hear me? I mean, my children would be in deep trouble if it were not for my wife. They would fail math. But they're brilliant in math, so praise God. But I know enough about math to know this much, that if I spend 117%, that's more than 100%. Isn't that good? Are you impressed? And that means that I'm spending more than I'm taking in. Sounds like our federal government. That's what that sounds like. Spending more than what I'm taking in, right? So there's little left over for many people to give to the Lord, which helps us understand this principle that the Baptist Faith and Message talks about is the word stewardship. The word steward. What does that mean? And we'll talk about that in a minute as well. Now, to break it down for our church, this is interesting because we have been working on a new loan for our building payment that we have. And so we've been kind of doing some research and statistics and looking at some things. We've got some more to share, but I'm just going to share this briefly with you this morning. And in the fall, we're going to do a new campaign called Transformed. It's in September and October. And one of the things we're going to talk about is about financially. How do we transform? And I'm going to share with you something I think that will be revolutionary for our church. And just hang on for it. It's coming, all right? But I want to whet the appetite here with this message to get us to there. But I want you to know about this. In our church, members, 387 members right now we have that are 18 years and older, all right? 18 years and older. Now, out of that number, that's a total adult, all right? 18 and over. Now, we have this thing called giving units in our church, all right? So a giving unit, for example, my wife and I, we are one giving unit. We give together. Now, some of you are married and you give separately, so you'd be considered two giving units. But if you give together, you're considered one giving unit, all right? I just want to break this down so you kind of get an idea of where we are as a church family. Let me just say this. Our giving has increased exponentially. It has been amazing, the giving that has happened here. But I want you to get the what could happen, all right? I love the could possibilities could happen, all right? So here's the deal. 197 giving units, all right? Think about this out of that 387 adults. So it's not too bad of an average. Now, what makes you a giving unit? If you've given $100 or more in a year, all right, in an overall year, okay? So you look at that number. That sounds really good. $100 over a year, not too much, but this included in that giving unit. Now, here's the kicker about that amount. Before I share this, the median income in the city of Pedal in 2011, I don't know what it is now, so it's probably a little bit higher, but we'll just call the 2011 number, was $50,000. That was the median income. Now, some of us make more than that. Some of us make less than that, but that's the median income, all right? So if we take this number, look at this number here for just a minute, 197 given units. Since January to now of June, youth have given through the ministry plan giving, your regular giving, and then to the outlive your life giving, we've given almost $270,000, just shy of that. Now, that translates into giving units, to help you break that down, about $1,400 or $1,370 for those 6 months per giving unit, or about $228 a month per giving unit. All right? Now, think of this for just a moment. I want you to just because I love to think this way. If We had 200 giving units, all right? So we've probably, maybe we've added three more. I don't know. I don't know who gives what. We just know these are units, so I have no idea who these people are, okay? And so some of you obviously are sitting in these pews, your chairs, you're part of these people. If our church units, 200, gave the median income, okay, and just tithe, all right? Think about this. Our giving this year would be over $1 million. Didn't that just make you just go, wow, wow? Now, our giving now, I think last year was a little under $600,000, which was tremendous. But look at what more we could do. It's tremendous. How about you? But that gets me excited when I stop and think about that. Does that get you excited? Good, just me. I knew that's the way it's going to be. I love when we talk about tithing. It's fantastic. Now, I want to talk about this idea of stewardship, all right? And think about in this picture of your mind where it is God wants us to be. Because I believe this, God will bring the resources necessary. Because listen, I share with our folks Wednesday night. I just want you to understand this. God is blessing our church in some amazing ways. Our giving has increased. Our attendance continues to increase. In 10 months, we've taken in 80 members with 2 months less to go. That's all we took in last year was 82. So we're going to go past that number. God's providing that. Our life groups have grown 19% since this year to last year. Our worship has grown 15%. Folks, if we continue on this trend, we're going to be averaging in our building over 330 people in our building by this time next year. Life groups will be bumping 235 to 240 for average attendance, all right? Which means this, dear wonderful people, we're going to be out of space. Hallelujah! That's great! Now where are we going to put all of you? We ain't figured that out yet. That's a good problem to have. But I'm going to tell you one of the keys to that. I'm just going to be honest with you straight up front in the most joyful way possible. We're going to have to give more. Now, some of you already give, and you're giving sacrificially. And so this is not aimed at you, though this helps you to understand why you give if you don't already know. But for some of us to get on the table, be a part of something that is magnificent. Folks, God is blessing us. This church is doing wonderful, exciting things. Are we doing all that we need to be doing? No. But are we on the road to where we need to be? I believe yes. I'm so excited. We helped a family yesterday. We're going to go in Jackson to help an African-American congregation, help them finish their church, which I love because ours isn't even finished ourselves. I love that. It's fantastic. The guy says, we don't have the resources. I said, we don't either, but we're going to come help you. You know what God will do? God will bless us. We gave Mount Vernon. When somebody blessed us, we'll give them. We gave them $5,000 this year to help them finish their new building they're going to have, and ours isn't finished. What's God going to do with that? God's going to bless that kind of sacrifice. I believe that with all my heart. Good night. I love preaching on tithing. All right, let me just tell you this one. Here's the Baptist Faith and Message. Here's what it says, and I'm quoting from each of these sections so you know what we as Southern Baptists believe. Here's what it says. God is a source of all blessings, temporal and spiritual. All that we have and are, we owe to Him. Christians have a spiritual debtorship to the whole world. A holy trusteeship in the gospel, a binding stewardship of possessions. They are therefore under obligation to serve Him with their time, talents, and material possessions, and should recognize all these as entrusted to use them for the glory of God and for helping others. According to the scripture, Christians should contribute of their means cheerfully. I love that one. That's my favorite. I wish we'd applaud when we give like we do when we baptize. I love to give. Cheerfully, regularly, systematically, proportionally, and liberally for the advancement of the Redeemer's cause on earth. See, when you, I don't know if you get this mental image, when you put your hard-earned money into that offering basket, do you realize that you are giving to somebody you may never meet, who sends a missionary of whom you do not know, who will go to a far land that you will never visit and will share the gospel of Jesus Christ because you gave sacrificially. See, that's living with eternity in mind. There's an Old Testament scripture that talked about in Malachi, the nation of Israel is having some struggles, sounds vaguely familiar to us in many ways, and a lot of denominations that are declining. What's one of the challenges? What's one of the things they were facing? Well, here God addresses it. These are God's words, not mine, all right? And these are powerful words, encouraging words, convicting words that will help us. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 6. Let's stand and read in God's word, and then we're going to blow through these points like crazy, all right? Here's what it says. God's word says this, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I'll return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me, God says. But you say, how have we robbed thee? How have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And watch this verse now. This is crazy. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows, then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it may not destroy the fruits of your ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Father, speak to us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Would you take that outline, and let's look at what these things have to say for us. Where does our money go, by the way? We talk about tithing. Well, preacher, where in the world does my money go when it goes in this offering basket? Where does it disappear to? Now, some of us, we have great trust. Some of you don't even think about where that money goes. You trust completely, which is wonderful. But I want you to know that your church staff and your financial team take seriously that we be good stewards of the hard-earned money that you give sacrificially. That we don't blow it, we spend it carefully, and we spend it wisely to do the most good and stretch the dollars as far as we can to do all that God is calling us to do. So we have a thing called a church budget or a church ministry plan that helps us think through what we do. So we have one for 2014. It's a very, very ambitious giving plan. It is far beyond what we are able to do. And I love this about our financial team. I love this. And here's what they did this last year. They said this: let's don't set a budget based off what we know we can do. Let's base a budget that says, God, if you don't come through, we won't be able to meet it. Now that's my kind of ministry plan. You know what that means? We have to depend upon God to provide in ways that we just don't expect and don't know where it'll come from. Now, we have to be wise, and so we have it as a plan. So sometimes from time to time, we have to adjust our spending sometimes. Summertime's one of those months. Giving gets a little bit lower sometimes. But we have high expenditures, Infuge and Haiti and the Superstorm. All kinds of things happen this summer. Kids Extreme. So we're careful about that, but it's our church ministry plan. Now, out of that church ministry plan, 6% of what you give goes to the cooperative program. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Basically this, all the churches cooperate together to give for national causes to go to the International Mission Board, North American Mission Board, all those places. Okay? We also fund a little bit to the associational office to help in their associational missions. The rest stays right here in our church to pay the power bill, to pay salaries, to pay for material, to pay for toilet paper, to pay for tables and chairs, to pay for all kinds of things, to pay for ministries that take place, to bless our community and send it to the ends of the earth. So we give the church ministry plan. The second thing we give are beyond our regular tithes and offerings. The second part we give is to the Outlive Your Life giving and growing emphasis. It's one we've been in for a year. Now we only have, out of that 197 giving units, only 76 right now are currently given to Outlive Your Life. Now, Outlive Your Life is designed to go above and beyond just that tithe, that 10% we'll talk about in just a moment. But it's designed to go beyond that point to help us finish our building spaces that aren't finished. And since we've started it, we've finished our fellowship hall. We are finished our kitchen now. All we've got to do is put in air conditioning and get the vented system done, and we'll be complete in there. On the first floor, all we'll have left to complete will be the choir suite, the extra bathrooms we want to add. And when we finish that, the downstairs space will be complete, and we can go to the upstairs for the much-needed space we need. That's what I Live Your Life is. The second thing we give above and beyond that are our mission offerings. There's three of those. Margaret Lackey for the state, Annie Armstrong for national, and Lottie Moon for international. For all three of those, you can see the numbers there. You gave $31,000 to those offerings. Now, let me tell you where we were 2 years ago. So we can just rejoice and have a shouting party for a minute. 2 years ago, in the year 2011, this church gave just over $3,400 to those three offerings. And 2 years later, you have given $31,000. That is incredible. It's amazing. That's what you've done. Cooperative program giving, get this now. Our cooperative program giving, because we are increasing that every year. This time right now, probably as of today, we will have given more through 6 months than we gave all of last year through our giving. Fantastic. Lottie Moon this last year, $20,000. Simply amazing. Now, what does God's word say about tithing? This idea of tithing. What is tithing? 10%. Well, let me know three things about this. Number one, God has called each of us, everybody in the room, boy or girl, teenager, by the way, and adult, college student, single adult, married adult, senior adult. God has called everyone to be a steward. Notice this in every area of our lives. It's not just money. It's also our time. It's not also just what we tithe, but also what else we do with the rest of our money. Do you know that God cares about what you do with the other 90% of your money? He does. God cares about all of how we spend our resources. Being a stewardess, God has entrusted us with resources without Him we would not have. You know this to be true? God owns everything, right? You know that to be true, right? God's owned it all. He's just letting us borrow it. He's letting us use it so we can be a steward of it. Because we know the truth. One day we're going to die. We're going to leave this place. There's no hearse hauling a U-Haul behind it, taking all of our stuff with us. It's not going. The only thing that's going to go with us is that which we have given away. That's it. Right? So we know it to be true that God has called us to be a steward. Our resources are all given by God to be used for God. And thirdly, I believe this is true and Scripture teaches it. It is one of our greatest privileges to be able to give. And it's one that Satan tries to twist and make negative and make ugly and make it to be not about what it's really about. And even uses, get this now, a lot of Christians to say, oh, and every church I've been a part of, oh, that preacher, oh, here he goes talking about tithing and giving. I wish you'd get off that subject. Good night. Every church, everyone I've been a part of, it's just natural. You know why that is? Here's why. Now watch this now, and I'll be honest with you. I like my money. You like your money? If you like your money, say, uh-huh. Good. 20 of you are lying. That's not true. All of us love our money. If you don't love your money, then bring it to me. I'll take care of it for you, right? We love our money. Why? Because money makes the world go round. It's just the nature of the beast. It's true. So we just need to be honest and quit acting all super spiritual. I don't love money. I have a hogwash word for that, a Greek word, bull. Yes, you do. We all do. We want to have nice things. We want to be able to do the things we want to be able to do, right? That's normal. That's natural. That's not a bad thing. We need to recognize that. But here's the challenge. Here's the challenge. Is we understand God's perspective about money. Jesus taught more about money than he did heaven and hell. Why? Because he knew that Satan would take the one thing that could capture us and become our God, that would control us, that God knew that if we give it away, it would not be an issue for us. Now, for some of us, giving is not a big deal, all right? And so you struggle with other things. For me, giving is not a big deal. And for me, fortunately, what we're raising our boys to do is understand is that we're called to give, right? So for me, it was ingrained since I was a child. Some of you were here before. I've told this story before, but let me tell you in case you weren't here, because it's funny and it's true. My dad put me on his knee at 5 years old, going to give a great testimony about why we give in our church. And boy, we practiced it, and we talked about this and that, and while I was ready to go, Dad sat me on his knee in front of First Baptist Church, 1,500 people, sits down on his knee, proud dad moment. He's so proud. I know you can't see him in the camera, but too bad. And so, proud moment, here he is, puts me on his knee, puts a microphone in my face. Son, why do you give? Because you told me I had to. My dad was like, that's not the answer we were looking for. But you know, that's a great statement that I made because my dad taught me that principle. And since I was 5 years old, I've been tithing ever since, and I'd never have stopped, never. Even in college when I was dead broke and didn't have a dollar in my name, I still gave and tithed. It was ingrained in me, so it's natural for me. Rebecca and I, a few years ago, really prayed. Well, it's been longer than that now. It's been probably since we've been married 12 years, probably 10 years ago, 9 years ago. We really felt very called and led that tithing was not enough. That was the biblical minimum. And do we really want to be doing the minimum for the Lord? So we began to give more than that. I'm not telling that to brag on you. I just want you to know that we felt convicted that tithing for us was not enough. So let's talk about this. Here's the principles from Scripture. Here it is, what we just looked about. Number one, notice this, God's person. God's person, verse number 6 tells us that God never changes. Thank goodness God doesn't change, and thank goodness for his goodness, because if he didn't, we'd all be dead, right? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is unchanging. He is ever faithful, ever true, and this God that never changes knows all 7 billion people on planet Earth personally and everything about them, and yet knows us all individually. So notice in God's person, God's word has not changed. God's word is not, God has not changed his mind about giving. God didn't say, well, it's a new day, new era, you don't have to give. Didn't change. God has not changed. His word will not change. Amen? Thank goodness it won't change. God will not change. Notice this, God's person. Secondly, man's problem. Here it is. He says it. You have turned away from God's statutes and not kept them. You have walked away from God's calling in your life to walk according to what the Word of God says. Israel did it over and over and over and over again. And we do the same. We sin against the Lord, and the Lord says, listen, you've got a problem. And in this particular area, he's going to point out what the problem was specifically in this season of Israel's life. God gives a prescription to their problem. He tells them this. What do? Return to me, and I will return to you. Return to me, and I will return to you. What a great promise. He gives them a prescription. They've got a sickness. God says, here's what you need to do. If you'll return to me, well, we prayed this morning. Folks, I believe it's true. I don't know if you believe it or not, but I do believe with all my heart, and I will live the rest of my days proclaiming it to be true, that if the church of the living God and this preacher starting numero uno will do that, and we will return to the Lord with all that we are, I believe God will heal our land and will do a revival in the church and an awakening in America, and will see the world turned upside down for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It can happen. You've got to believe it'll happen. You've got to want it to happen. We have to sacrifice for it to happen. But God says, if you return to me, I'll take God at his word. When he says, I return to you, you return to me, I will return to you. I don't know about you, but I want to take God at his word. Notice the fourth thing, man's perspective. I love this about man, and God's talking about them. We say these really dumb questions, right? I'm glad God's not sarcastic, because if I was God, I'd be sarcastic. Here's what they say. Well, Lord, how do we return to you? And how have we robbed you? As if they didn't know the answer. I mean, really? It's kind of like with children. You know, they ask the questions they already know the answer to. And I have to bite my tongue in half sometimes. I don't want to say, sometimes I don't. I'm glad God didn't just say, really, Brad? I mean, can you not figure it out? You know good and well what the answer is. No, he doesn't say that. He just tells them in love. God's pronouncing them. Here's what he tells them. Two things. Number one, you are robbing. You have become a thief, nation of Israel. And what is he saying to the church today? Too often we've become a church of thieves. Now, this is what God's word says. So if you want to be mad today, be mad at God. If that's on your heart, I don't think you'll be mad. But if you happen to want to be mad, just be mad at God. It's just right here. He says we've robbed three ways. Number one, we've robbed God of what God has asked us to do. Number two, we rob ourselves. We rob ourselves when we don't give. And we're going to talk about why that is in just a moment. And thirdly, we rob others when we don't give. The second part of his pronouncement, bring your tithes to me. What is a tithe? 10%. It goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. Now, again, we meet people who talk about, well, preacher, isn't tithing an Old Testament principle? And I simply say, yes, absolutely it is. We live under the new covenant, don't we, preacher, under grace? I'm like, yes, we do. I said, so here's the great thing is, a tithe is just the starting point. You might want to go back to the Old Testament model. Because I believe we ought to give more than 10%. Not we ought to give. I think, here's the problem. See, we say it like that. That sounds terrible, doesn't it? We ought to give. We ought to give. No, we get to give more than 10%. That's just the starting place. Now, for some of you, we'll talk this in a minute, you're going, hey, I'm new to the faith, I'm new to following Christ, just cold turkey 10%. I couldn't do that, I'll be honest with you. Stair step it, start the process. Start each week, start each month, growing in that giving. There's a story told of a man who comes to the desert, dying of a thirst, and he comes to a well, and there's one cup of water. Just enough to prime the pump that would give more water than he could ever drink. So the question is, does he drink the cup of water, or does he live in trust and have faith that if he'll use that one cup of water to prime the pump, it'll bring more water than he could possibly consume? It's this 10%, 90% principle. You see, it doesn't make any sense to us from a math perspective. How in the world can 10% go further than 90%? How can I not make my 100% go further than 90%? Mathematically, it doesn't make sense, does it? I can do more with 100% than I can with 90%. That's just a mathematical fact. But here's the problem is, I don't put God in the equation. And God can do more with my 90% than he can do with my 100%. I'm going to say amen to that one, because that's a good word right there. That is good. God can do more with your 90% than with you doing it with your 100%. It's truth. God's been pulling it off for all of times. Notice God's promise. Here it is. These last two, and then we're done. God's promise. What does he say here? Now, these are powerful words. Don't miss this. Test me and try me. Now, why is this a big deal? Because God says, do not put the Lord your God to a test. Yet, the one place in Scripture that I've ever found, maybe there's others, but I've only found this one, that God says, test me. Okay? Now, let me put it in my vernacular where I can kind of get it. All right? Here it is. And I don't mean this to be sacrilegious, just so I can kind of get it. I double dog dare you. Okay? I triple dog dare you. Now, some of you don't know what that is, but back in the day, we had this game that you triple dog dare. That was serious. I mean, that was like jump over a creek with your bicycle or something. That was serious. Right? Triple dog dare you. God says, I dare you to test me and try me. In other words, if you will start doing this, you watch and see what I will do. And if you don't think it'll be truth, I'll show you to be the truth. Now, here's the challenge. Sometimes people will say, well, I'll do that. I'll start giving. But they're not a good steward in the rest of their money. And so they can't continue to give because they're not a good steward. Here's the problem. Here's the challenge. We've got to be a good steward over here. So we've got to cut some things out of our lives. We got to live on not what we need and what we want, but what we need. Now, that's a challenge in our world because our world tells us you better live off what you want all the time. My boys can quote commercials. It's ridiculous, the commercials they can quote about things they need. And I just simply tell them, you don't really need that. Oh, you want it. The Toys R Us ad comes in the newspaper. Lego magazine. Boy, I want this, and I want this, and I want that. Walmart ad came in the paper, in the mail. Walmart ad, Transformers. Woo, Transformers. I need that. No, you don't. You want it. You don't need it. Right? We're the same way as adults. We just have a different set of toys. Don't we? Right? Test me and try me. Notice this, the second thing. What does he say if you'll do that? I will pour out the windows of heaven. Open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings on you. So much so, he says, so much so, it will overflow. God is my witness, dear friends. I can tell you as a testimony of God's grace. I've been in times when I didn't make a whole lot. I'm thankful I'm not at that point now. This church has blessed me beyond what I deserve. Way beyond what I deserve. And I'm grateful. But I just got excited because it meant I could give more. But I've been in times, my wife knows this to be true, we've been in times when financially things were not easy. You know what happens, though? This is truth. The third part here, I rebuke the devourer. I had a preacher tell me this, and this always made me laugh, but it's true. You know what happens when we give? Somehow, some way, my clothes last a little longer. And the peanut butter seems to multiply. And my car seems to last a little bit longer, and the tires go just maybe a little bit further. Why? Because I believe with all my heart that God will honor faithful, sacrificial giving. I have seen it be true in my own personal life, and many of you could stand and say the same thing. I will rebuke the devourer. There are some of you are being devoured financially. There's all kind of tools and resources out there, Dave Ramsey, all kinds of things, other Lifeway products. But can I tell you where they got all their things from? Straight out of the Word of God. That's where they came from. And they're pretty simple. Here it is. I can tell you Dave Ramsey in a nutshell. Now, some of you like Dave Ramsey. Here it is in a nutshell. You ready? Don't spend more than you got. Save some, all right, and tithe. There you go. I'll be at the door. You can pay me a check for that. Thank you very much, all right? It's really that simple, isn't it? But our world doesn't tell us that. Our world sends us more credit card offers. Our world sends us this, tells us that, tells us this. We got to have this, got to have a bigger house, bigger car, bigger. Better. Right? God says, no. That's not how it works in my economy. Notice this other part. I love this part. Man's potential. The world will take notice. Now listen to me. Don't miss this part. This is a good word. This is a good word. Now, some of you are new in town like me. Some of you I met in 6 weeks, so this is going to be a new story for you. I want to take some of you back to 2 years ago. How many of you lived in Petal 2 years ago? Raise your hand. All right, put your hand down. How many of you 2 years ago were not a member of this church? Raise your hand. Look around this room. Amazing. Right? How many of you drove by this church and saw it looking a little empty? Even members, you could raise your own hand too. Yeah. Our city and those who live around it have noticed what God is doing here. Now, is that because we go, that's right, sure is a pedal first Batman, that's right. God's doing it right here. Nope. I had a friend ask me last week, man, how's it going? I said, man, I'll be as honest with you as I could be. I don't know what in the world's happened. I don't know what God's done, but God has continued to do miraculous, wonderful things through an idiot like me. What are you doing? I said, here's the title of my book, and I'm going to sell it. I don't know. I'll tell you what it is. It's God. And it's you coming and inviting and giving and serving and loving and worshiping and praying. Folks, there were rumors years ago that this church had gone bankrupt. Didn't have any money. No cars. It only lived to be the proof. But folks, they can see it now. When we finish this building for the glory of God, they'll say, look at what God has done. God has resurrected once was dead and dying and has made it alive again. Why? So they can say, wow, look at that building. Oh, no. This place becomes nothing more than a lighthouse, than a ministry sending station to go to Pedal Primary, to go to Pedal, to Mississippi, and to the ends of the earth. They'd say, wow, look what God did. Look at what God has done. See, they won't get that. They'll look at you and say, you give 10% of your money to what? They won't understand it. But they'll look and see the results of what your giving does. Little old church like us going to Indonesia. Good night. Are you kidding me? What are we thinking? We've lost our mind, Melanie. Andre, what are we thinking? We don't know what in the world we're doing. Look what God can do. I want to encourage this morning. You're not tithing. Start. If you quit, get back to it. If you got it's hard to start, start where you can and work your way forward. Gave you a little tithing chart to help you think through resources, what it looks like. You can give online now. We make it easier. We have folks that give about $3,000 a month comes in online. Some people like the convenience of that, the easiness of that. You can do a deduction automatically. You can do it however you choose to do it. I personally, I'm old school. I got to put it in the basket. I'm old school. I want to put it in there. But you don't have to. We make it as easy for you as possible. Folks, I'm praying. Here's what we ask our folks to pray Wednesday night, and then we're done. Here it is. We're praying for God to send. This seems ridiculous. Gary, this would have seemed ridiculous. Chris, this would have seemed ridiculous years ago. We're praying for God to send $3 million our way. When you hear that, does that just make you go, holy cow, what a ridiculous prayer request. Who in the world's got $3 million? Anybody here got $3 million? Anybody in the room want to go ahead and give it today? Anybody? I didn't think so. Where is that $3 million? It's in somebody's pocket somewhere. God's going to help us one day. Give us what we need. Get out of debt, first of all. That's first and foremost. Stranglehold of debt. Get out of that and then be able to move forward. I want to ask you to pray about that. I want to ask you to give towards that. And I don't ask you with any pretense because it ain't going to me. It's going to Him. We're just trying to be good stewards of that once you give. So am I excited about this message? You better believe it. The greatest joy you'll have is when we learn to give ourselves away. Though little widow's mite or tens of thousands of dollars, it's the heart that matters. And God will take it and multiply it and bless it. I pray the legacy of our church will be this. Look at the faithful, sacrificial giving of what the this people have done. What a testimony. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you this morning. Oh, I love when you breathe life into a message that to me seems really dead and boring. A subject that can be challenging, quite frankly. Father, I felt such an ease and a receptiveness to that which you have challenged us to do this morning. So, Lord, I think our invitation is very clear. Lord, for those of us who are giving already, we can rejoice and thankful and, Lord, look for different ways to use our resources to go even further for your kingdom. For others, Lord, to begin to make steps in that direction. Lord, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Everything in this world is yours. Lord, the resources are in our hands to use, to be directed towards things that will last for eternity. So God, speak to us on those levels. But Lord, I pray for those this morning who don't know Jesus as their Savior, as their Lord this morning. And though I know this message has nothing to do with about the gospel per se and knowing Jesus, Father, you gave everything on a cross called Calvary. God, you didn't tithe. You gave 100% so that we could have eternal life, both here, the abundant life now, and in the life to come. And we can have that life if we will simply admit to you we're a sinner, ask you to forgive us of all of our sins, believe not only with our head that you are the Son of God, but with our heart. And when we believe that with our heart, we will confess you then as Savior. I cannot save myself. And then I will commit my life to you as Lord, to deny myself, to take up my cross and follow you for the rest of my days, to radically follow you, to give everything to you. What I pray for any person in the room that needs to do that this morning. They would say that prayer, and not the prayer that saves us, but Lord, it's the committing of our life. That prayer simply is the gateway, the doorway to having that relationship with you. For others this morning, Lord, who have made that decision already, but they never made it public. Maybe at a camp, at a kid's extreme, in their home. They've never made it public. Lord, would you give them the courage to come this morning and say, I want the world to know I'm unashamed. I want people to know I'm a Christ follower. Mom or dad, boy or girl, teenager, whoever. Others to come and join this church family and say, yep, God wants us to be right here. There's no doubt about it in our minds. God has made it clear this is where God has called us to plug in and serve. For others to come to this altar and pray over our nation, over a lost friend, a relative, or neighbor. Pray for our church. Pray for this preacher. Lord God, whatever it is you're calling us to do, that we would come just as we are. That you love us right where we are, but you love us enough to call us to be more like you. So, Father, as we continue to worship you this morning through singing, would we respond with our feet to that which you've spoken to our heart privately. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand with us. Let's sing together, worship together, respond together. You come. This altar is open. Maybe you're going to come and tell God, God, I want to give more. And you want to come to this altar, make that commitment. Whatever it is you're calling, God's calling you to do, I'll be the front to receive you. You come right now.
Come just as you are. Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come and see. Just as you are.